Coming to you from the FlexFox Fantasy Federation's World Broadcasting Headquarters in Ottawa, this is The Weekly Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick the Man Penner, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, handsome Jamil Hussan. And our special guest this week is one of our many valuable playoff owners, but one who obviously stands out and is someone important to talk to this week. It's Aiden Smith-Edgell. How's it going, guys?
Come to this, Nick, as a relieved owner, but very happy.
So obviously, we're coming to you between the first and second rounds of the playoffs, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I know we're about to break it all down in a second, but this was a first round to remember. I mean, just a ton of close matchups. I really did not know which way it was going to go, and it was just a lot of fun to watch and see these matchups play out.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think Jeremiah, who's missing today, added in on Slack that all division winners actually lost the first round. So that was an interesting little take on things.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I don't know if that's ever happened before. It was a upset city up in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to say there was a lot of interesting matchups. Like Nick said, there were a lot of upsets. I guess we'll get into that in a minute.
Well, we'll get into that right now. And I think, Aiden, we'll start with your matchup. Definitely one that a lot of people thought could go either way. And, I mean, obviously, Ryan was the higher seed. So, in theory, he was the favorite. But it was a very tight back-and-forth matchup for most of the week. But in the end, Aiden, you did win. You pulled off the upset to eliminate Ryan the Mad King with a total score of 238.8 to 203.7 for Ryan. Aiden, how are you feeling right now?
It feels good. I don't think a lot of people were really counting on me to even make the playoffs or make it past the first round. So having done that, it feels good, and I'm excited to keep on going. I'm not slowing down yet.
And so before the matchup, you were always confident that you were going to win? You bet on yourself?
Yeah, I did. I know Ryan had been sort of struggling to end the year. He sort of slumped a bit. And though my team had had a couple injuries, like, I still thought that it was deep enough that I could overcome that. And so far it has been.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely thought Aiden had a good shot at it coming into the postseason, but from the way I was following the week, he was just pretty much convincingly up the whole time. And every time Ryan would come a little bit closer, he would just punch back. So I was really impressed by how he finished him off in convincing fashion. Like nothing really, like it wasn't like an escape type of victory. So kudos to you, man.
Yeah, it was pretty close up until around like Thursday. And I had a big Thursday. And that seemed to be the big blow that Ryan couldn't really recover from. Although we made a push on Sunday.
And I'm looking at your top scorer. It's really bumming me out right now. I think it was Jorge Polanco, 35 points, who I owned for like a day. I'm wishing I kept him now.
Jorge Polanco, who Aiden, in fact, added on Sunday ahead of this matchup. So clearly that was a key addition for you.
He really came in clutch. I picked the right week to add Jorge Polanco. It kind of sucks that Yorko had to go get injured for it to happen, but maybe it was meant to be.
The other thing, though, worth mentioning is that in terms of starting pitching, you probably did not have your best week of the season. There were a couple bum starts in there, and even Irvin Santana, who was a two-start pitcher for you, only put up 19 points on the week. Was that a little bit of a worry for you, that your starting pitching was not as effective in this matchup as it could have been?
Always something you sort of worry about when you have a team that's built the way my team's built, which is offense first and then starting pitching second. But I had like a decent performance out of my bullpen, so that sort of helped smooth it. I got 16.5 points out of Fernando Rodney, so that kind of like helps it along the way. Although, if you look at Ryan starts rather, he did not have very good pitching either, so that helped me as well. We both sort of struggled on the starting front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, jumping over to Ryan's side, he obviously also had 8 starts, as you did in the week, and his were equally bad. you know, including most notably -6 from Kenta Maeda that really sunk him in this one. And he also did not have the hitting you did. He only put up 97.7 points, which really is not enough to get it done, frankly, in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think in Ryan's, like I had from the, if you guys saw the predicting standings race, I pretty much had Ryan winning the whole thing, but he just like really just went super cold the worst possible time. And it happens, you know, that's why once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess the question is, what do we say to Ryan after a loss like this? Like, this is the second straight season where, despite being a favorite team in the playoffs, things have not materialized for him at all. And it's got to be a real bitter defeat for him, and it's going to be a long winter thinking about what's next for him.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say to him. It's like, it's one of those cases where, like, he looks really good on paper and on the regular season, but can't come through in the
He still has a really strong, like, major league team. Like, he's been able to create, like, 15 really strong keepers if he wants to. And he's a really strong minor league team. So I think the future is still bright for Ryan. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he'll be back in the playoffs next year.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. There's no doubt in that one.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just the nature of the fantasy beast, I feel, where he could be the strongest team for most of the season, especially up to, like, the halfway mark. Definitely the favorite, and you know, still at the end of the day, if you can't produce come playoff time, then that's it for you. And it's harsh but true.
There can be only one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that quest to get the playoff field narrowed down to that only one, let's talk about the other matchup from the tough customer side of the bracket, the Jeremiah v. Cam showdown. One that got a little bit heated, maybe a little salty on Slack this week. A lot of strong opinions flying between these two proud competitors. In the end, though, it was Cam who pulled off the victory, eliminating the now renamed first round fodder, Jeremiah. Cam put up 282.9, Jeremiah 242.6. What are your guys' thoughts on this matchup?
Probably throughout the week, Cam did for sure get a little bit of a worry because Jeremiah was putting up high numbers throughout the week. But then, I don't know, it's probably weekend push, I think,
from Cam. There was a weekend push. He got five Sunday starts for 43 points. So he totaled 11 starts over the course of the week. And that's what made the difference for him.
Yeah, I mean, early in this matchup, it looked very much like Jeremiah was going to be able to do it. Jose Ramirez, obviously huge for him, 51.8 points on the week. But at the end of the day, I mean, Cam just had it in him, and his team was able to put up points at the end of the week when it counted. And like you said, those Sunday starts ended up really being the difference, and we're able to get Cam over the top.
Yeah, like around 280 to upper 300 is obviously where Cam has been all season long. So to finish with that number, it's not surprising. And to Jeremiah's season, it's kind of, I hope he was here to defend himself, but it's kind of like what happens when you kind of been undecisive throughout the season, you know, like you make it to the playoffs, but they only come fall off short in the first round. So we'll see where he goes on from here.
Yeah, I mean, from Jeremiah's point of view, I think a lot of times in fantasy baseball, it's easy to write off what happens to you as sort of fate or predetermined destiny. But in this case, I think Jeremiah was the author of his own misery. If he'd made some different moves, he could still be alive in the playoffs right now. But instead, he's going to, like a lot of other teams, be looking towards next season and seeing what happens then. For Cam's side, though, I think he did a very good job in this matchup, especially in terms of those Sunday starts, with putting to rest at least some of the doubts about his team. I know a lot of people thought he was coming in on a low note into the playoffs and wondered whether that was going to mean an early exit for him, but he put up a big point total this week, and that's definitely looking good for him going into the next round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still, Cam's still a heavy favorite. So, we'll see what happens when we preview him and Aiden here.
I would point out, though, just for the record, because I know Jeremiah will get at me if I don't, both teams in this matchup scored higher than the ones in Aiden's matchup. So theoretically, Jeremiah, with a different playoff matchup, could still be alive right now if he hadn't had the misfortune of going up against Cam.
Yeah, it's just sour grapes.
Well, something he couldn't control.
So continuing on with this look at the playoffs, let's go to the only true blowout of the first round. And I don't think a blowout a lot of people were expecting. This, of course, being Flex Fox putting up 325.9 points. Absolutely huge round one total from him up against Chris Kennedy. So Chris Kennedy, 183.7, low total for him. And now he's out of the playoffs while Flex is moving on with a head of steam here. What are your hot takes on this one?
Well, when you start the way Chris did, that's a big mountain to climb. And the way Adam's team was just on a juggernaut, like, he just can't be stopped. 325, that's pretty high. And, yeah, just disappointing on Chris's end, just to make it at least a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, I know he wanted to be a little bit more competitive in his first playoff run. But like you said, like, his hitters, I looked it up, they started 2-for-34 for the first 2 days. And even after that, he braided like 288 afterwards, but he's just too much of a hole to overcome. And for Flex, his starting pitching was amazing. He got 151 points out of the seven pitchers. He averaged 21.6 points per start.
Jeez.
Wow. That's incredible. I can't believe Flex's pitching was that good. Definitely agree, though, that obviously I don't think this is indicative of Chris's overall team. Just a bad week for him, so that's unfortunate that it happened to come in the playoffs. For Flex, I mean, what do you say to that? Hopefully, if you're him, you can keep this up. You gotta pray that these pitching starts continue. But, I mean, he does have talented pitchers. Like, Steven Strasburg is no scrub, so it's not exactly surprising. Even guys like Severino or Viagini, I guess, they always had the potential to do this, and they delivered for him this week.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, from my brief time owning him as a starter, like, the thing about Viagini is more often than not, he can get you the strikeouts. It's just what he does, you know, the rest of the game that you have to be worried about. So the fact that he was able to put up 10 Ks and also not, you know, give up a shit ton of runs.
Yeah, that's the formula.
That's, you know, really good for him.
Yeah, that was against the it was against the Orioles as well. So that was a surprising good start for Adam. And he just got good production out of everybody. Like, Rizzo was killing it. Even Dylan Bundy had a good start. Same with, you know, Severino, like you said, Nick, and even Trevor Bauer. So, you know. Hopefully this is for Adam, this is hot now, but then hopefully he cools down for the second round here.
Yeah, I mean, the only blemish I would have to point out is that Evan Gattis, a catcher, perhaps involved in a side bet, I don't know, but he had a bad weekend and is now DL'd again, so not really sure how good his odds of finishing top 10 for catchers are this year, but... You know, I don't want to say I called it, but I low-key did. So they forget the predictors. That's the prediction I'm proudest of. So moving right along, we have our final championship playoff matchup. And obviously, the saved the best for last, the absolute tightest one, the Jameel versus RKR showdown, which... ended up coming down to the very wire. An incredible Sunday comeback for Jameel left him the victor, 224.7 to 214.4. Jameel, how's it feeling, man? You soaking in this victory?
Again, like, I'm just, like, very relieved and pretty much shocked that I'm still in the playoff race at this point, because I think about Saturday when Chris Archer left after 8 pitches and I was down by a good margin, I thought I was cooked, thought I was done. But you know how crazy fantasy baseball gets when 3 streamer starters pretty much save your season. That's That's how you know anything could happen. And yeah, I was so shocked. Jake Thompson, your boy from before, Nick, put up crazy start for me. I think he had 19 something points. Andrew Albers had a no hitter through five innings, and it ended up giving me a good start as well. So that's a difference there. And I think RKR had a chance on that Yankees Red Sox game with Todd Frazier still. That scared me a bit when he hit that home run. But at the end of the day, I think it's official to say that the voodoo magic is over.
The voodoo hex is indeed broken. RKR got out of many a sticky situation, but he couldn't escape from this one. Obviously, it's good to win. And if you can do it off the back of streamers, you know, it still counts the same. But are you a little bit nervous about your overall team quality now to be in such a close matchup like this one?
I am going to say I'm very disappointed in the fact that I had a good margin. I had a good lead. I think about 60 to 70 points throughout the week. Then the offense just went very cold, couldn't produce. The pitchers, again, saved me. So in the offense side, I can't be having negatives for a day or two if I want to go far, you know. So hopefully that changes for me, but it's a good sign here, still coming up with a W. And I gotta say too that I wasn't a believer in like streamers probably a couple seasons ago, but now it's part of the game, you know. So when you gotta do it, when you're desperate, it could come and be clutch for you. So that's exactly what happened for me.
But going back to RKR's week, I think a big problem for him was also that his offense didn't really show up. Like the Bash Brothers didn't do very much bashing last week for him, with only 56 points from all of his bats. And like there's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both these teams got double their points off of pitching than they did off hitting. So it's interesting that, I would consider both these teams to be pretty balanced in terms of the offense versus pitching dynamic, but that didn't really show on this one with the pitching taking center stage.
I got very lucky. Like Blackman had a quiet week. He usually torches me whenever I face him. And Corey Dickerson cooled down by the time RKR got to face me. So that's kind of part of a reason why he went extremely cold. And I think Buster Posey as well missed a couple of games. So, but I gotta respect RKR. Like he had a heck of a season and he put up a fight till the end, like to the very end of that, again, that night Sunday night game. So nothing I can't take away, but give him some respect here.
I think of the first week with the U versus RKR. That's when I was paying more of the attention to.
Yeah, absolutely one that I was tracking too. For RKR, obviously, similar to Chris, a first-year owner in the playoffs, getting eliminated early. I think hard for me to say what he'll do next season, considering that a lot of people didn't think he was a credible threat at all this season, and then he ended up making the playoffs pretty handedly. So, for RKR, obviously, he learned some lessons, and hopefully he can come back stronger and take away from this experience and build a very competitive team for next year, too.
Yeah, definitely one of the stories of the season.
Wrong candidate.
This was definitely a first-year owner of RKR. Mm.
So obviously that was the championship playoff, the main event, but there are still a bunch of other exciting, interesting games happening. So we can look at some of those next up. Of course, the Europa League, looking to be very competitive this year. Let's start with the man that most people consider to be the favorite, Mr. Jeffrey Chow, who was going up against Garth Newton. Chow put up a very impressive 302.3 points, more than enough to win over Garth Newton's 237.5. So, Chow looking very strong in this one as he continues his quest for vengeance in the Europa.
Yeah, this wasn't really a surprise. Like, Garth Newton I had as a pretty much like a dark horse in the Europa, but he just had the unfortunate luck of facing Chow the first round, so 300 points.
Yeah, Chow's definitely a powerhouse team.
His team is capable of, so
performed really well. He got more points out of his relief pitchers than he did out of his offense last week. He had, I think, double-digit starts from Adam Morgan, Azen Reed, Krimbrel Britton, and Cody Allen. So that's a lot of points coming out of the relief pitchers.
Yeah, good point about that bullpen. I mean, obviously with this point total, a lot of people would be asking what would be different if Chow was actually in the playoffs and was competing for the championship. Because clearly he's got a very good team with a lot of good players who are producing right now. So unfortunately for Garth Newton, that means he's out early. Interesting season for him, but Chow looking very good here as the Europa goes forward, and looks like he's got definitely the odds on favorite to win at this point. But let's look at some of the teams that could still challenge that. The first matchup, the one whose winner would go on to face Chow, the Ash versus Garth MacInnis showdown. And back from the dead, Ash looking very competent all of a sudden, putting up 283.2, more than enough to see off Garth MacInnis, 179.2. Ash in fine form now, coming down the stretch.
Yeah, this one was the one I pegged, I think, in the last podcast, where I had Ash winning in a convincing fashion as well. So I'm not surprised also with this outcome. He's just been on a tear the last couple of weeks. Like, he beat me with almost 300 points, I think the second last week. So it's very, I'm not surprised that he's putting up numbers, but this much in terms of the way he's producing, but I'm also just surprised at the fact that the names he has on his team,
Hoskins producing. On his team, the two young guys.
Because he did sell really off, well so.
Lately, just in this last little stretch. I had picked Garth M to win this matchup because he had a two-star week from Corey Kluber. And Kluber put up 42 points, I think. But that wasn't enough for Garth M.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the moves Ash made, especially around the deadline, clearly he was building to the future, but he was building in such a way that his team could still at least be somewhat competent, and that's showing here. Like, a guy, for example, German Marquez, who he picked up from me, got two pretty good starts for him and put up a good total of points, so that's very impressive for him. I know we talked earlier in the season about how he was sort of playing dead and it looked like his team had absolutely collapsed, but here he is back looking very strong against Garth MacInnis, who obviously did not do so well this week, has had a bit of a problem, I guess, putting up points in some of his matchups, so that's unfortunate for him. But Ash, definitely the strong team here, and it's going to set up a very interesting matchup next week against Chow.
Trading? Do you think it's possible to make the playoffs in this league without getting something for assets that don't fit on your team instead of just like dropping them?
I mean, from my point of view, I think that it's pretty doubtful, just because you would have to have such a good stash of assets going into the season and then be able to draft incredibly effectively, and even, you know, have a lot of luck in terms of ad dropping. And those are all things that Garth MacInnis can do and has done before. But at this stage in the game, I just think with so many owners and so many active owners, you're not going to be able to get enough talent off of the waiver wire. And you're certainly not going to be able to draft enough, like, really competent players that it's going to be a quality enough team to make the playoffs just on that. So I do think that at least some amount of trading is pretty necessary if you want to be a serious contender or even just make the playoffs.
So what do you guys predict what the future holds for Garth M? Like, is he forever in this stage of like 500, near 500 record, just never going to make the playoffs?
Like, 2015.
I think I see it that way if things don't change, you know?
Like, his ceiling. Oh, well, I don't know. Because a lot of people were writing off RKR,
yeah,
too.
I mean,
he went on a good run, and he got some good luck, but he also had a solid team. So I don't know. I think if you get good luck, maybe you could get.
But I mean, I mean, RKR did make some moves, though, right before the deadline as well. Like, some pretty significant moves to kind of bolster his chances. So that's probably where I would differentiate the two.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we talked about last season how much good luck Garth MacInnis was getting en route to that 11-8 record. So I'm not sure how viable it is for him to get that again. Especially because he did much less adding and dropping this season than last, if I recall correctly. At the same time, I mean, it's possible that he would be able to, in a couple of years, use the minor league system maybe and develop some top-tier talent that way. But right now, I do see Garth MacInnis in sort of this holding pattern of being in sort of the lower to upper mid-tier, sort of just the mushy middle of the league, really. I don't see him escaping that one way or the other.
Yeah.
So we'll continue with the Europa League now, and we continue to one of the other quarterfinal matchups, a very interesting one between Richard Tillo and Jathish. Tillo put up 247.9, but Jathish coming through with the big 319.4. That was the second highest point total of the week behind Flexes. So what was on paper a very uneven matchup is handedly won by Jathish. What do we think about this one?
Yeah, I had Richard winning, and I'm just... I think the way that Jathish's team is built... He's meant to go all the way to the finals here, to Europa. Like, he put up crazy numbers from Dozier, and, you know, Robbie Ray's back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so, Jathish's team is looking really well-rounded right
just,
now. Like, it doesn't look like it really has
tough
a lot
loss
of weak spots
for,
on it.
Tillo.
Good offense, good starting pitching, good bullpen. Richard Tillo had some rough luck. He had a bad start from Dylan G against Kansas City this week. But, yeah. Mostly just the starting pitching wasn't really there for him.
Yeah, I feel a little bit bad for Tillo, considering that some would argue he should have been in the playoffs, but obviously it sort of fell apart in the last week on him, and it fell apart again here too. 247.9, obviously a respectable total, but Jathish right now, he's clearly built his team in a way that it'll win the Europa. It's very important, I guess, for him to win something this season. So he's really turning it up, and I'm impressed with how much he's been able to get his team going late. He's been very effective on the waiver wire. He's made a bunch of great ads lately, so he's got a stacked team now, and moving forward with it in the Europa.
It doesn't make you wonder, though, what if he had
all the players
this
he has
roster
like
from the get-go? Like, he's looking like a
season, you know?
Good, like a sleeper, you know, in a championship bracket.
The deal becomes like...
So,
really something you can do, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think even if he hadn't been tanking at certain points of the season, if he'd earnestly been trying to win constantly and managing his roster to that effect, I still don't think he would have been able to finish above 500 just because there was, you know, such a deficit of talent on his team at the start of the year that I'm not sure how much more he could have made up than what he's done in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's fair. I would agree with what Aiden said, like, not a lot of the players he got were available at the time. So it's all about being patient, I guess, for Jathish and, you know, pulling the trigger when he had to, acquiring these type of guys. Like, JD Martinez is killing it now that he's on the Diamondbacks. Chris Davis, again, to this day, still regret trading him. So guys like that, Dozier as well, he picked up right before the deadline, so... Good on Jathish for having a sense of direction at least halfway through the season.
From Tillo's point of view, obviously it's disappointing to be out of the Europa, especially in the first round. But, I mean, we talked about before the season how It was a question of whether, you know, he was a year away or a year away from being a year away. He still has a great young core. He's got a bunch of guys who are only going to continue to get better. So I don't think he has to be too worried about losing out this year. He's still got a good future. And now it's a question of the moves he's going to make once the season ends and how he can use those to effectively improve his team heading into next season.
Yeah, definitely no arguments on that one. Like, his future is still bright. He's got the young pieces to do it, so I wouldn't be too surprised if he's back to near at least a playoff spot next year.
So our final first round Europa matchup was my own, the man, Nick Penner, against the Illuminati, Mike Kaminsky. Obviously, a matchup that was going to be an interesting one, but I did win out very easily, I guess. 210.4 to 113.8, the low score of the week for Kaminsky.
For 22 points.
So I guess I'll let you guys speak on this one first, and then I can go from there.
This matchup.
Yeah, I had you, Nick, winning this one pretty convincingly as well. And I don't know, Mike's been away, I guess. And 113 points is just like what Aiden said. He left the best pitcher in baseball on the DL when it's, you know, a Europa first round matchup. So no shocking result here.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously believed that I could win this one. I knew Kaminsky was coming back from vacation, but clearly his mind's still on vacation based on some of the management he did. Obviously, I made a bit of a goof in case any of you guys saw it, regards to benching some starting pitchers, so I only got 6 for the week, but that ended up not being a real factor, and I was pretty impressed with how my offense did, all things considered. Got a couple of guys, Nunez and Altuve, who both put up big weeks, and then a lot of little guys chipped in too, so... yeah, overall, I thought it was pretty good. And obviously, part of the Europa League is evaluating talent for next season and trying to think about what roster moves you're going to make to get to that championship level. So from that point of view, I think that the Europa League experiment has been pretty successful so far and sort of giving me some indications of what I should be doing next year.
Mm. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, is this the first time
I definitely think you'll be a team to watch.
Your team has been on the Europa?
As well.
That is correct, yes. This is my first non-championship season.
Mm, that's interesting, yeah.
So that wraps up our Europa recap and brings us to the Flexfox Vaz, the lowest of the trophies in rank, but the highest trophy in drama. That one got away from me a little bit. But, of course, we do have to talk about the Vaz. Two very exciting semifinal matchups to get on the way to the number one overall pick being handed out. The first was Ian against Wendy in what turned out to be a very interesting and very close match. But Ian was able to win and advance to the finals with a total of 228.2 to Wendy's 218.7. Any thoughts on this one, guys?
Didn't expect it to be this close, but Wendy did put up a fight. And I think from Slack got a little bit of a scare. Obviously, we all know about our big mastermind plan. So this was an interesting matchup for it to come down to the wire like that.
As it's constructed right now, wants to do better, or wants to win, and needs to get better results from those two players. They're pretty key to the whole system she has. You got a good week from Wellington to steal, though, 35 points. So that's impressive.
I mean, obviously not a great year from Wendy. Still sort of an adrift organization. But I do think it was, if anything, a moral victory, putting up a respectable total in this game. So obviously disappointing that she won't be advancing farther, but Ian's master plan, it's nice to see the drama of that continue. He did have a very good week. I mean, even especially considering he's a Vaz caliber team, but he did have some good performances, especially out of a couple of his hitters, guys like Carlos Gomez, Chirinos. Like, he does have talented guys on his roster, so it'll be interesting as the Vaz moves on to see how he's able to compete and whether his plan's going to come to fruition.
Yeah, I have him as well from the winning the whole thing, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, in order to do that, he will have to beat the other finalist, who is emerging from the other semifinal. That semifinal, of course, was the one between Wes and Lim, two teams with a bit of history between them. But on this instance, it was Wes coming out on top, putting up 185.8 to 157.5. So a pretty good win there for Wes, even with the low point totals. And now he's off to the finals. What do we think about that one?
Just really disappointed in Lim. I thought this was a nice golden opportunity for him to show everybody that when it matters, he can come through. But, you know, he poor outing him out here. Like, he's representing, I thought he would come up with the W, representing the Jeffrey Jungle.
Maybe a couple more pitchers. It was a fairly close matchup. So, you know, if you'd gone the full seven, that might have made a difference right
there. With the clutch win, I guess.
And the pitchers he did start did not perform very well. He got negative 7.5 from Eichhoff against Atlanta. He left the game in the middle with an injury and ended up being done for the season. So that's rough.
Like, I'm not sure if Wes was setting up his lineups, or it was just where this was actually his best performance with 183. But yeah, again, just disappointed in Lim's part. Like you said, probably if he added a couple more starts, he had a good shot at it. But I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I was going to say, on both sides, I'm not sure this is exactly a clinic in roster management that I'd want to attend. Low totals all around. Neither guy got to seven starts, so disappointing from both of them. I think ultimately, not to toot my own horn, but I was correct in predicting that the team with the stronger overall roster would win, and that was Wes, and he was able to ride a couple of the star players who put out slightly more than Lim's slightly less star players, so I don't think that either of these teams should be proud of this matchup, frankly, but it was Wes who won, and so he gets to move on and have a chance for an amount of redemption by getting that first overall pick.
Yeah, like it would be a nice story as well if, like, Wes somehow pulls off, like, you know, I wouldn't say the upset, but, like, steals the victory away from Ian. But I think a more interesting matchup would have been Lim and Ian for the Vase final, just because of what Lim did earlier in the season, defeating those top teams. But, you know, Wes, I think he could be better than this, so we'll see.
Well, let's just keep on rolling with this momentum and jump right into it. The Vaz final, as you guys mentioned, is between Wes and Ian, and it's happening right now as we speak. Two teams scoring off with the first overall draft pick hanging in the balance. Right now, Ian is up early, 67.5 to 40.4 for Wes. From the sounds of it, you guys both think that Ian's got the edge in this one.
I just think he cares more. That actually, you know, cares than Wes does. Like, so really he has the drive to make the moves and come up with that first overall pick.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I also think that, like I said before, Ian's team has a couple of gems on it who would really be able to power him this week. So he does have the early lead, and I think it's likely to stay that way. So I do concur that Ian's going to win, and his master plan will finally be complete, and we get to see how that plays out this offseason. Lots of teams to watch. Might want to keep an eye on all 20 of them, in fact. We can also talk, I guess, about the Vaz consolation final to, I guess, find out which team is truly the worst of the worst when it comes to this season in fantasy baseball. That matchup is between Wendy and Jeffrey Lim. And funny enough, both teams right now are outscoring the two teams in the final. So I guess there's maybe a little bit of controversy over what it means to be worst. But Wendy is ahead right now, 75.5 points to 69.1 for Lim. Do you guys have any thoughts about this one?
Nothing really. I'm going to keep it short, but I think Wendy's going to finish the season on a winning note. And
it's hard
still
to pick Lim if you only got four starts last
Lim's
week.
Just so very disappointing again. I thought he would come up with a W, and I wouldn't be surprised if Wendy wins this one.
I'm going to make it 3-for-3. Definitely seems like Lim is cratering a bit here. And it would be sort of nice for Wendy to finish off with a victory. So I'm going to pick her for that reason. Moving on up now to the Europa bracket. Let's do the games that count first. In one semifinal, we have Chow versus Ash. A matchup we previewed. Both teams, who have been doing much better as of late, had good scores in the first round of the playoff. Right now, Chow is up 63.5 to Ash's 26 points. What are your thoughts about this one?
Especially with the big lead that he has right now.
You could go Aiden first. I'm still going to go, I'm going to agree with you and still say Chow as well, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ash makes it more competitive at the end. But like you said, Chow's team is clicking on all cylinders, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the final.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to, again, be a very agreeable fellow and also say Chow, but right now there's not a lot that seems to be going wrong for his team. It's firing on all cylinders. He's got lots of good guys playing well. So, yeah, I do think that Chow is sort of unstoppable right now, and it's hard to imagine him losing a matchup. So Ash can definitely put up a good point total in this one, don't get me wrong, but I think it's going to be a barn burner that Chow comes out on top of.
I agree with that.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I missed it. Flipping over to the other Europa semifinal, that would be the matchup I am in against Jatheesh. So far, pretty one-sided affair. 96.7 for Jatheesh to 19.4 for me, Nick Penner, the man. I mean, I guess I'll let you guys go first.
Well, Jatheesh's team is just
not looking good
right now, really well, just like Chow's.
When JD Martinez has it out for you, hitting four home runs last night. So,
yeah,
I don't know. What do you think, Aiden?
I'm gonna pick Jatheesh, I think.
I'm going to go ahead and declare myself dead on arrival on this one. Hard to compete when a guy puts up four home runs. And he also owns the starting pitcher who puts up 14 Ks. So between those two guys, he gets approximately 60 points out of one game. So, yeah, I mean, my only real chance of making a comeback would have involved getting at least a couple good starts today from my trio of starting pitchers. But both Vargas and DeGrom decided to not pitch well decided to just sort of lob them in there, and I'm feeling that a little bit. So, yeah, I don't really foresee myself making a comeback, which is too bad because I think on paper this could have been a very exciting matchup, but a string of extremely fortuitous circumstances for Jatheesh and some unfortunate ones for me sort of render this a moot matchup.
Yeah, there's still a fair
Well, we'll see, you know, like, you can still have a chance to kind of go cool for a couple of days and you go hot, like, the way Altuve's been hitting as well, and Nunez. So you can never know, you can make it close, but it's not looking good, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of time, which is the advantage, but at the end of the day, I'm sort of nonplussed by the whole situation. I mean, I'm going to, you know, set lineups and everything, I'm not going to just be despondent, but... I do want to stress that this matchup really doesn't prove anything. Jatheesh is still a garbage person and an even worse owner. And I'm just very disappointed that I couldn't expose him on live TV.
Hearing that, Jatheesh, garbage.
We do have two consolation matchups from the Europa League that we can take a quick peek at. Obviously, they don't count for very much other than pride, but pride is a powerful motivator. And first up, we have the showdown of the Garth, Newton v. McInnes. So far, it's a low-scoring one, a defensive struggle, with McInnes up 30.6 to Newton's 17.6. Who you got in this one?
Ooh, battle of the Garths. I'm still
going
to go
and I'll pick
Garth Newton. I think McInnes. He has the
starting
better
advantage right
I
now.
Don't I know. Actually, it's a,
guys,
I'll flip a coin. So I'll just say it's Garth Newton. No particular reason.
If you guys can remember all the way back to week 3 of the season, way back in April, you will recall that was the first edition of the Garth Bowl for this year. And that one was won by Garth McInnes by 0.9 points. So I believe that is high time that Newton got his win back. A lot of 50-50 booking in this league, I know, but I do think that Newton's going to win it here and get the pride. Just because, you know, it's fun to keep this rivalry even. So I'm going to say Newton has it.
Fair enough.
The other consolation matchup from the Europa would be the matchup between Richard Tillo and the Illuminati, Mike Kaminsky. Both teams looking to avenge obviously painful first round defeats. Right now, it is Tillo who is up 60.2 points, but Kaminsky is pretty hot on his heels with 54.9 points. Obviously, a matchup that both these guys probably would like to win, but who you got?
I'm going to say Tillo, just
well,
based
like
on Kaminsky's
off the DL
activity
finally,
in the,
so I think I'll pick him
at the moment.
Like
so I'm going to go Tillo,
play.
Who has, you know, at least if he tries and sets up his lineup here, he's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to pick Kaminsky based on how poorly he managed his team last week, but I do think he might be able to get one back here, so I'm going to pick him over Tillo. I do think that with Mike Trout heating up a bit, that he can use that to his advantage and get a win here that would be much needed for him. So now we get on to the championship bracket. Here, let's save the most important ones for last, and let's talk about the consolation matchups first. First off, we have the battle of the first-year owners, possibly the one who that'll determine the new Owner of the Year award winner. That is Chris Kennedy versus RKR in a showdown. Chris Kennedy is up early, 64.6 points to 50.3 for RKR. What are your thoughts about this matchup?
I think he's got what it takes.
I think probably this is a good opportunity for both teams to bounce back. But I think Chris is going to pull this one off, representing the jungle.
I'm going to pick RKR. I think that obviously both these guys have a lot to be proud of and, have had good seasons, but I think RKR would really send a message here if he was able to win some of these consolation games and really showed that the voodoo magic is not dead. It's just in hibernation, getting ready for next season. And I believe he does have a couple of favorable pitching matchups still this week. So I think that might be able to help him out and really put him over the edge. So I'm sticking with RKR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
For the first time in the league too, so nothing to be too upset about there.
Well, and two of the more competitive divisions as well. So very much nothing to scoff at. We can now jump over to the other consolation matchup, which is a friend versus friend, brother against brother showdown. Two guys who are known to be somewhat close with each other, but are battling it out here for honor, I guess. Jeremiah versus Ryan. And it is Jeremiah with the commanding lead, 85.5 points to 35.2 for Ryan. Who do you guys have in this epic confrontation?
I'm going to say Ryan, just because he still has a lot of, like,
I don't know, looking like
to
Ryan's on
a
downward spiral, and it's looking like it's still continuing. So I'm just going to go with Jeremiah with a good lead here.
I'm going to pick Jeremiah. I think he is clearly in a position now where he's got a lead already, and that's going to help him out a lot. I think Ryan, whatever was left of his soul, has been truly crushed by his first-round exit from the playoffs, so I don't know if he can get his mojo back. And, I think both these guys will probably maybe not – well, I don't want to accuse them of not playing as hard as they could have, but – I do think now that they're both eliminated, they're going to be doing some personal reflection this week, and that might affect the matchup. But I'm going to pick Jeremiah and say that he's going to get bragging rights in this one. So now we get to the championship semifinals. The final four of the Flexbox Fantasy Federation for the 2017 season. One of these four teams is going to be crowned the championship at the end of the champion at the end of the year. So that means 25% chance each of these guys have. Very exciting to watch. And two really big matchups. And we have one guy from each of the semifinals here. So we're going to get some insider scoops. And I guess first off, we'll take a look. Aiden, you are the special guest, so we'll go to you first. You are taking on Cam in a matchup that's very exciting to watch. A lot of good storylines here for the Tough Customer Championship.
I mean, this is
to represent them in the finals. And so far, you are up in a big way, 92.1 points, 34.3 for Cam. What are your thoughts? Are you happy, feeling a little bit content with the results so far?
I think Cam, he's going to find a way to get a lot of pitching. And that's what he did last week. He got 11 starts. I think he could do the same thing or better this week. So I'm watching out for that.
Mm-hmm. As of today, you'll have used three of your starts.
Well, I was really hoping
all
for
of them came today, and a bit of a mixed bag. Good start from Ben Lively, obviously. While, Danny Salazar in Cleveland, not so hot. Tyler Chatwood somewhere in the middle. Are you feeling okay about your pitching situation? Do you feel like you've got some favorable matchups down the week?
I think Cleveland Indians are rolling with a six-man rotation right now, and also the start went really badly, so I'm not expecting him to start on Sunday anymore. Yeah. That's my take on my starting pitching for tonight. Ben Lively was really good. He started against the Mets. The Mets are terrible.
I'll say that from the way you performed for sure in the last couple, first 2 days, if you do pull this off, I don't think it's an upset anymore because by the way your team is rolling, like I mean, almost at 100 points.
I could have seen it coming.
And it's Tuesday. That's crazy. So, I think you definitely have a good shot at it. But if I'm gonna predict a winner here, I think, in a shocking turn of events, Aiden is in the finals here. No one but you.
I will say for the record that Cam was my pick to win the whole league in the prediction contest, but I mean I gotta look at the facts I see before me, and right now Aiden, you're looking like a very hot team, and Cam looks like he's going into a bit of a slump similar to what he experienced in the dying weeks of the season where he lost with low point totals when his team sort of shut down. And yeah, I mean, he could come back. There still is time. He does have the ability. He does have the pitchers to maybe pull it off, but I think it's going to be very tough for him considering the lead you've built, and I think you will be able to maintain it. So you are also my pick to make the finals in this one.
What's impressive with the way your team's performing also, Aiden, is that you're doing this without, you know, arguably your best hitter from the season in Conforto. I think, is he done for the season? I'm not sure. I think he's done, right? Yeah, so like if you're pulling this offensive numbers as well without your best guy, that's pretty impressive. And I'm going to say that I'm pretty bummed out that Cam beat me to the punch of picking up the man, the myth, the legend, Bartolo Colon. So he's getting two starts out of him. He had a good one today, 13 points. So I was hoping I could grab him to have a Sunday start for me as well, but he beat me to it. But at the end of the day, I think Aiden's going to hold on to this mighty lead.
Glad you're picking yourself. It would be very worrying if you weren't.
All right, Nick, let's move over to the juicy stuff.
we'll get right there. The other semifinal, of course, the one for the championship of the Flex Fox family to represent them in the grand championship of the league. We have a matchup that's years in the making, very historic, a lot of history between these two guys. Of course, I am speaking of my co-host Jamil and Mr. Flex Fox. And the matchup is living up to every bit of the hype so far because the current score, Flex Fox, 85, Jamil, 84.9. You can not get it any closer than that. Jamil, how are you doing? Are you holding up? Should we check you for heart palpitations?
I'm actually very surprised that I'm at this close so far throughout the week. But the way his pitching has gone, like he got good starts out of Strasburg again, no surprise there, and yesterday out of Trevor Bauer, who's been hot. But yeah, a lot of, like you said, a lot of history between me and Adam. He took me out of the first round last year, so I'm playing the whole revenge angle here, and he's the Neil brother. But if I'm gonna pick someone, I'm gonna pick myself to be in the finals here, and I'm gonna say that I'm kind of bummed out that I missed out on a couple of starts, two starts out of Teheran, who's been hot too, and he got pushed back a day. So I'm going to miss out a Sunday start out of him. Also from Gio Gonzalez, they actually swapped, the Nationals actually swapped him in Strasburg from today and tomorrow. So that kind of sucks. But I'm still liking my odds. If I'm at this close early on and the way both our starts line up, we both have a good shot at it. But hopefully I come back and pull off the miracle here. Because I am going to say that Adam's the favorite, but I'm still going to pick myself.
I mean, obviously, based on the score, you guys are both doing very well so far. Hard to find a fault in either of your teams to date. Now, I do got to ask, speaking of situations that you might be a little bit concerned about, are you concerned that Bryce Harper could make a return during this matchup and really muck things up for you?
Based on what I read, I've been paying attention, obviously, to news on Harper. That I think the Nationals said he's far away from at least even running. So that's a good news for me. But the downside is Chris Archer, who I mentioned earlier, left his start last week. He could potentially miss a start for me. So I'm hoping he makes a weekend start. Even better if he makes a Sunday start for me. So he's my best, obviously my ace, my best pitcher. So I'm hoping he makes that one quality start for me and gives me that boost that I need to get the W.
So based on how the starts are lining up for you so far, how many are you anticipating having this week? Are you going to get 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13?
I don't know about that much, but it's looking like so far it's only at 9 or so, but we'll see. Again, depending on what the Archer situation is, and I'm also bummed out I lose out on Brad Peacock as a starter now that the Astros got Verlander. So, yeah, we'll see. From what it looks like, Adam has 3 Sunday starters as well. So it's gonna be a close one, but I'm hoping I get the W.
I did note that Rich Hill is one of your Sunday starters. So interesting to see Blister Boy playing a factor in this one.
Yeah, Rich Hill had a good start against last night actually against the Diamondbacks. So hoping he continues that trend.
Like I think. Both of you had like a really good
Well, we've talked about this. There's lots of different angles, lots of different storylines. But obviously, there can only be one winner. Aiden, what are you thinking? Who you got in this one?
I think his team was really hot last week, and like so far, it's carried over. So I think he'll just be able to keep it running all through the week. And I think Jamil's going to be having a tough time keeping up with the pace that he's been putting up so far.
I think that obviously Flex has been very good. I think this is a very tough matchup to predict. It's hard to see how either of these guys are going to be stopped just based on how well they're doing so far. But I am going to say, Jamil, you have displayed an incredible cockroach-like ability to just keep surviving. People keep counting you down and out, and somehow you're still alive here in the playoffs. So I think that sort of ability to escape from these sticky situations is going to come in handy for you once again, and that you are going to be able to pull off what I would think amounts to a minor upset and dispatch Flex and make your way to the finals yourself.
I'm liking the sound of that. Cockroach-like mentality. That's the best way to put the way my team has been performing all season.
Obviously, this is a big knock on wood, but both of you guys are in semifinal matchups. Looking across the aisle at the two teams who are competing against you, is there a team you would rather meet in the finals? Is there a team you feel you have a more definite advantage over?
Oh, come on, Nick, gonna put us on blast like that?
I'm just giving you a chance to call your shot.
I mean, like, at the beginning of this matchup, or even the playoffs, I would say Aiden, but the way his team is clicking right now. It's very scary to have that thought of facing him in the finals. But also, Cam has the names, and he put up a solid season all around. But if I'm going to pick someone, I think fantasy baseball is a game of hot streaks and momentum, and Aiden has all the momentum in the world right now. So if I had to pick one, I'm going to pick Cam, who's so far early in the week is who's cold. So I'm going to pick Cam.
I don't know. I think I could take either of them, so I'm not that worried about the other thing.
And Aiden, how about you? What are you looking at when you look at the FlexFox family final? Ooh, a lot of confidence there. I like it. I think that just about wraps things up. Obviously, there's an exciting week ahead for us here as we get one step closer to the final.
Yeah.
Do either of you guys have any parting thoughts? Anything you'd like to say now?
These are some very exciting times, and can't wait to have the final 2 weeks, you know, come to into a wraps here, and just happy to be alive, like you said.
Truly the most wonderful time of the year. Thanks to both of you for being my guests on this episode. Obviously, a lot of exciting things afoot, and it'll be great to see how this season turns out. But for now, all I gotta say is good night. And good fantasy.